Hi, everybody. Welcome to Music Industry Insights. My name is Evan Murray. This podcast you're listening to was done with three of the members of Thakadam Bridge, is a band managed by Wonderwall Media. Wonderwall Media is a company based out of the south of India in the state of Kerala. The three members, two of them are guitar players, one is the bass player. Thakadam Bridge is a band named after a place in India. They are a band that play cover music as well as original music. They've worked with some very famous, let's say old world famous. And when I say old world, I mean the music industry that used to be. But they've had a... You know, the drummer from Lamb of God, Chris Alder, played with them on their record. They had members of Dream Theater play with them. They had soloists. All the information's in the podcast if you're interested in hearing that. But this band is from the south of India. That's where they're, I guess, you know, the guys in the band live all over India, but, you know, they come out of the south of India. They sing in the languages of the south of India, but also the national language. And there's just a lot we cover in this podcast about, you know, their careers as artists, their careers as touring artists, their collaborations, even solo projects. A lot of these guys in this band are famous in their own rights. One of the guitar players that I actually interview in this podcast is, he's actually got a project with Pearl Jam's Dave Ambrosia, the former drummer of Pearl Jam. So there's a lot of context here. There's a lot of context about this band has traveled to 22 different countries, you know, toured in 22 different countries. This band sings in four or five languages, including English. This band, when it travels to all these different places in the world, plays out sold-out shows. You know, capacities ranging anywhere from 500 to 5,000. I mean, they're playing massive, massive shows in India, massive festivals in India. You know, this band doesn't have one genre either. Like, this band is something that's... like music entertainment, I guess you'd call it. Like, I mean, yes, it's a lot of, let's say, you know, there's a lot of inspiration or a lot of, there's a lot of music cultivated from their cultural background. But it's also fused with, you know, Western pop rock music as well. The music is just kind of, it's not, maybe it could be categorized as world music, but it gets heavy and it gets metal too, and it gets rock and it gets pop. And I mean, I don't know. I this is just like music entertainment, you know? And I mean, I've seen the band live twice, and it was literally the most entertaining live band I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was something that was, I guess, a bit surreal, because it was very... Even though I didn't know who they were when I first saw them, and I didn't understand what they were really singing, it was an emotional experience, especially to see the way that the crowd reacted to them, and to be in the midst of such like pandemonium and cheerful chaos. I'm not really sure how to explain it, except it was a monumental experience. But there's a lot to take in from this podcast. There's a lot to listen to. These guys know what they're doing. These guys have been doing this for a number of years. And it's really interesting to hear it from an East world perspective as well. You know, artists that are really making an impact. I mean, they have a huge following on their social medias. Just to check out some of their videos of what they've done at shows, it's insane. But without further ado, here's Thakadam Bridge. Hashtag be the bridge.
Joined today by three members of a very popular band based out of the south of India, but I mean in the country of India in its entirety. The name of the band is Thakuram Bridge, and I have three of the members here today, and I'd like them to introduce themselves. First, Bian, take the mic, please.
Hi, I'm Bian Fernandez, and I play the bass, and I'm the rapper of Thakuram Bridge, and I'm crazy on stage.
Right on.
I'm Mithun Raju. I am the lead guitarist of the band. And yeah, I just play the guitar. That's about it.
Are you crazy too?
He makes it sound so simple. Like, I just play the guitar. That's it. Yeah. And hey, I'm Ashok Nelson, and I play rhythm guitars for Thakuram Bridge. And welcome to the show.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And like, I've actually seen you guys live a couple times. And, you know, I just want to say, like, I'll just say it straight and honestly, you guys are my favorite live act I've ever seen in the world. So I want to say that very honestly and openly. And I'm very happy to be here today to talk to you guys. So I just want to thank Wonderwall Media for that. I want to thank, you know, Lakshmi as well. So I got some questions for you guys. And, you know, if whoever feels like, you know, they can answer it the best, please just let's all talk at a turn and let's just talk. Tell me, like, if we can, like, make a list, how many countries have you guys toured in? What countries have you guys toured in now?
I think it's 22 countries.
22 countries you've toured in. Okay. Yeah. does anyone remember all of the countries?
Yeah, I think we've been to US, Canada, Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Thailand, South Africa, Seychelles, Germany, Austria, Austria, Switzerland, Ireland, UK,
UAE,
Kuwait, Bahrain, then
I think most of the Gulf countries.
Yeah,
Hong Kong, Middle East.
Okay, so let's touch on that a little bit. What makes your band so international, and what are some of the coolest or the best places that you've been?
I think the US tour was really good, and it was not only about the music, but it was also about testing our patience. Because all these other countries, you just go for a week or two and you come back. But the US tour, it was, I think, a month and a half. I think the last one was almost around 2 months. So being away from family and just being on the bus regularly, just traveling, doing a show, resting for one day, again doing a show. So everyone started to miss their families back home in India. And so it was overall not a very... you could say a very happy vibe altogether, but it was a very testing time for each and every member of Thakuram Bridge to balance the entire emotions at the same time, keep the music very energetic every night on stage. So the US tour definitely
kind of played 24 stages without a kicking.
What's that, Ashok? Yes. Say again, please.
No, we kind of played 24 gigs without a techie. That was kind of challenging.
Okay.
You know, grab your own instruments after every gig, rush to the bus, have dinner. we always have, you know, dinner after we perform, because, you know, makes you more lively. It was hell, kind of hell. But we enjoyed every bit of it because the crowd was wild everywhere we went. The kind of warmth and the kind of hospitality that we were met with. It was awesome. Yeah, US is a cool place to be. It's a cool place to get lost, right?
Okay. You know, and that's, I mean, that's one of the things I really got out of being at your live show was just the energy. Like, I mean, I know, like, you guys sing in a bunch of different languages too, and you do sing in English too as well. But I mean, it wasn't even words or anything I was attached to. It was the energy. Like, the people in the audience are just like, you know, they're just, I mean, they're losing it, right? So, I mean, I was just, for me, it was like an experience. Like, I just hadn't felt something like that before at a concert. Like, even big bands, you know, like, I've I mean, like super world famous bands that I've gone to see. I just haven't had that. Like I was being just covered in emotions, you know? So that was something that was quite unique in watching your band. Tell me about the name of the band. Like, where does that come from? Like, who thought of it? What does it come from?
So, I'll answer it. It's okay. Probably the most asked question. So it's like Thaikkudam Bridge is a place in Kochi, and the first so
it's
time
a physical place.
We all got together. It's actually a place.
Okay.
Yes, but the spelling is wrong. We actually got the spelling wrong. I'll get to that too. The thing is, it's actually pronounced Thaikkudam Bridge. And our band is pronounced Thaikkudam Bridge. Yeah. The place is called Thaikkudam Bridge and the band is pronounced Thaikkudam Bridge. That's the difference. So basically what happened was these guys, the guys from Bombay, all the others were from Kerala. So we could just, you know, we had people to stay with. So we were staying with friends and family and whatever we could get a hold of. And the guys from Bombay, they were put up at a hotel at Thaikkudam Bridge. And there was this guy, Piyush Kapoor. He's carried on his journey with another band now called Daira. So he was particularly, he's kind of an eccentric guy. He's always hands-on with everything that he's into. And he was the guy who came up with the name Thaikkudam Bridge, because basically it was the only name that he knew in Kerala. he landed at the airport. Yeah. Okay. The taxi driver asked, Thaikkudam Bridge. that's the only place that he knew. Why not? It sounds like a good. Yeah.
So the scene was basically that every time when we went to drink in the evenings after practice, so we had to make sure that everyone remembers the name Thaikkudam Bridge and that we come back safely to the right destination. So that was the catch of it.
Okay.
And so yeah, that's the story behind.
And how long has the band been together? Like, so how long has this been going on for?
I think this makes it 9 years, right? Starting, 8 years. You've completed 8 years.
2013, right?
2013
June, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
June.
So
exactly.
Yeah. So like eight years in 22 countries. I mean, that's pretty great. You know, like it's like more than two countries a year at least. So the symbol of the band is super interesting too. And like the thing is, so my wife is Chinese, and the only reason I know this is because when I was with her in Canada, we were, you know, talking a lot about, you know, getting the band in the Summerfest and doing all this stuff. And she said, "Oh, are you trying to book a Chinese band?" And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, their symbol actually means horse in Chinese. And I was like, what? I was like, I'm like, no, they're from India. And she's like, look, and she drew out the symbol for horse. And I was like, oh my God. You know, so instantly I like sent it to Samesh. I'm like, hey, did you know this? And he was like, what? And he's like, no. So I was like, so yeah, was there anything purposeful behind this, you know, the symbolic, like, is there symbolism? I mean, like, I watch your music videos too. There's a lot of symbolism. There's like a lot of cultural stuff from Kerala. There's a lot of like, you know, world kind of, I guess, issues being kind of tackled and stuff like that as well. So is there symbolic things about the band? Like, this is a group of people merged together, right? And talk about the symbol first. Like, let's just talk about symbolism for a bit.
Sumesh Lal from Wonderwall Media.
Yeah, I
think he's the brains behind the symbol. And what I remember is that symbol means a bridge in tribal language. That's what I remember. So it's our band is like a bridge, because we do a lot of fusion. Like, we mix a lot of genres, like Hindustani or rock or metal or Malayalam folk or Tamil songs. So it's like bringing together all these kind of genres and bringing all these kind of cultures together. So that's what basically it represents. Anybody else?
Yeah, basically the thing is like if you look at the symbol more closely, it's more like if you get on any one point of like if you enter from any point, you can go to any point. That the exits, the entry and exits are all connected, and that's basically the gist of the symbol.
Okay.
And yeah, Sumesh is the guy who kind of is the brains behind the symbol, as Mitchum said. He's the CEO of Wonderwall, and basically the whole symbolism behind the band is like, we are a 15-member band. It's a pretty big band, and we also have our own audience.
Officially, the band has 15 members. Is that correct?
Yes, 15 members, and 12 members on stage, and three guys are audio engineers, and they take turns, being in front of the FOH. One guy takes care of the monitors. One guy takes care of the FOH, and one guy, he shuffles between the two. And it's basically like when you bring 15 people into a band, you are not just bringing 15 kind of music into it. You're also bringing the ideologies, the political backgrounds of these 15 people. And it's pretty, it's understandably very hard to, bring different backgrounds into one place, especially when you're talking about an art form where you get very loud with what you're saying, especially a rock band. So it was not a conscious kind of a thing, but I think everyone tried to, make his politics or ideologies or whatever his reason is for being come out through the music, which he's responsible for. So I think that's why our music is culturally rich, maybe, because someone is always trying to bring in something new to the table, be it politics, be it like, for example, Navarasam is about, it's kind of a brainchild of Govind. When he brought out the music, when we, heard the music, he already had a concept of the video in his mind. Basically, if you see the video, it's got a lot of symbolism in it, the music video of Navarasam. It's basically about an art form called Kathakali and how it was born, how it was nurtured, and how it is, abandoned to die also. Mm. Because people, these kind of things are people's choice. And it's not anyone's fault per se, like when an art form kind of slowly goes to die. But at the same time, it's everybody's fault because, you're also responsible for its death. So if you see the video, it's like the kid, there's a child born in the beginning of the video. And in the end, he's taken away by the Lord. And that kind of symbolizes the whole thing of Kathakali. And this was kind of portrayed the concept was... the inception of the concept was there from the beginning of the song itself. I go. So just like that, every song has a story behind it, and every band member adds to that story, from whatever he can or what his point of view is regarding that story.
It's incredible because, I just want to touch on that, is that one of the things that I did experience in India that I haven't experienced in other countries anywhere I've been, is there's a magnitude of diverse culture inside of India itself. And I think that's something that I don't think a lot of people know that haven't been to India. Like of course, North America or Europe has people from all over the world in cities. So it's like diverse that way. But India inside of it is also very diverse in itself. And I think it isn't a tribute to your band. Like, it was so interesting when you said that, you have all these members that have all these different belief systems, like political or religious or, ideological different views on how life works or what happens, and you're all kind of joined together. And it really does lead the segue into like this whole entire be the bridge thing, getting to, being a community or getting to the other side. And I mean, I have watched that video and I analyzed it, and you know, I actually have had the experience to watch the art form, the drama, you know, the Southern Indian drama live. And it's a powerful video. Like, it's just a really powerful video. It's a powerful song. There's just so many things about the band that are so human, you know, like, I know it's a big band. I know the band's from India, but there's so many human components to it. So, sorry, I'm just blabbing away here, but I think these are super important things to talk about. You know, I think, especially on a global level. So the band is super diverse as well, right? Like, we're talking about the diversity of the band. How would you explain your music? Like, if I say to you, like, what genre do you play? I mean, I'll just say it. Cause I know it's going to be a strange answer, but like, what genre of music do you play?
I think just music is enough. We play music. Yeah.
Let's talk. So we know that the band is like traveling through all forms, really. I mean, I've seen you guys play prog rock. I've seen you play like, you know, folky, like romance stuff. I've seen you play hard rock. Vian is rapping and, you know, like getting like, you know, thousands of people to jump up and down. Like it's a religious ceremony. I mean, it's crazy. I watched, you know, but let's talk about that. Let's talk about like, what languages are you singing in?
Well, we usually sing in Malayalam, Tamil, Hindi, English. These are the main four languages. Occasionally, we do Telugu or Arabic. Even once or twice, we have done those languages as well. But mainly, mainly it is like Malayalam, Hindi, Tamil, and English.
Okay, and was there a conscious choice to do those languages? Like, is it? Like, did you guys think to yourself, hey, we want to sing in these languages to gain this audience? Or was it more to do with the music? Like, how did that come about?
I think it's more to do with the singers we have. They are more comfortable singing in certain languages. They have their own strengths. So it's like the Hindustani, Krishna and Madhav from Bombay. They are well-trained classical musicians. They are very comfortable in doing, Hindustani, Hindi singing. So it comes natural to them. So the other singers as well, they have their own natural choices when it comes to language. So that's why Malayalam, Hindi is probably the most natural languages for us. And because we are big fans of Ilayaraja and A.R. Rahman, we get to do a lot of Tamil stuff. Even Govind is doing a lot of movies in Tamil. So we do have a big audience over there. So, and we have had the opportunity to do a lot of major shows in Tamil Nadu. Big stars attended our show. So we kind of have a following over there as well. So Tamil is also very popular. So that is the reason behind why we choose these languages. So these languages come naturally to us. That's the reason.
Yeah. So it's more like you guys are following your path, I guess you would say. Like, if the singers are comfortable with it and the music is happening and people are responding, you're just kind of, you know, is that fair to say?
Yeah,
that?
I guess. Yeah. Everybody, like I chose, this band has so many members and everybody has some strength. And what we try to do is encourage that strength, and those kind of strength gives a different flavor to the band. Kind of it gives a different flavor to the band, and the everyone brings a different personality. And we don't try to we don't ask a member to do something that he's not comfortable with. I think that is very important. If you try to do something which is not natural to you, you won't be authentic. So it is very important that you are authentic in whatever you are doing.
So Well, I mean, so having, you know, 15 diplomatic people, I mean, just even thinking about that is hard to imagine. And I mean, so, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I just want to say that there's a lot of wins in what you're doing. Like the fact that 15 people can get along and agree on doing, you know, on certain things is massive to begin with, especially this day and age, you know? So I just want to, you know, I'm just coming from a real place where I'm saying that the fact that you're really talking about that diversity, in fact, that you're talking about how the respect level that happens, it's really, I think that's really special, because I think it's very hard to imagine 15 people getting along nowadays. Now
you don't always get along.
Well, I'm sure some of the fights are probably epic, but we'll talk about that another day. We'll leave that for the documentary.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I've heard, like, all right, so I know a lot of the information I'm asking you, but that's just because I want everyone else to know. I've heard that you guys have done some, like, really big time collaborations as well, with, you know, very famous artists. Now I am going to touch on your solo careers coming later on. I am going to talk a little bit about that, but as you know, as Takuram Bridge, am I saying that right? Takuram. Right. I've said that word probably 10,000 times and I still say it wrong. Takuram Bridge. As the band Takuram Bridge, you guys have done some major collaborations. Do you want to talk to me about that?
So, yeah, we've been very fortunate to collaborate with some very big names like Jordan Rodas from Dream Theater, Guthrie Govan, Marco Miniman, both of them from Aristocrats. And from Lamb of God, we have Chris Adler. So those are big international names. Apart from them, there are some major names in the Indian classical music as well, like Niladri. Then we have Ustad Rashid Khan. Then Chaurasia. Am I missing someone? So,
yeah, Ram Narayan, Pandit Ram Narayan, and
Umayalpuram.
Umayalpuram, Vishwamohan Bhatt.
Vishwamohan Bhatt. So these are like Grammy winners and guys who are legends in international music. I mean, to collaborate with them, I mean, if you ask me something like that, like 3 years before, I wouldn't even have dreamt of it, actually. Like, we'll be playing with these guys. These guys will be playing for us in our album. It is beyond my wildest dreams, actually. So, I don't know how we managed to do that. I still don't believe.
Good answer.
There was a lot of accidents also. Like, for example, Jordan Rudess. We got in touch with Jordan Rudess when we kind of accidentally met in Colombo, Sri Lanka. We were actually, it was a transit for us. We were on our way to Seychelles and we had a transit in Sri Lanka, and we were all kind of sleepwalking out of the plane, and I think we had to stay a night in Colombo. So we were kind of 2 hours of no sleep, and then again sleep, and then you have to get up at 4 a.m. and go back to the airport. We are all like that, and I think it was Rutin who came running back up to me, and he was saying, "Dream Theater is in the airport," and we were like, "What?" And we are all like, we lost our sleep and we are like jogging, and everyone's looking at us, all kind of 15 people running around, and we find Dream Theater at one gate and they are waiting for their plane. And we are like, these guys, I think they got scared a little bit, because in the beginning we are all like, you know, jumping on them and like, "Yo, Dream Theater!" Jordan Rudess, what's up, man? And later on we mentioned that we are doing an album, and we played with Marco, we played with Guthrie, and at that time, I specifically remember John Petrucci going, "Oh, Marco played for you guys. Okay, then I'll shake your hand." And we were like, yeah, and I think it was Rutin who talked to Jordan. and they exchanged the numbers. And later on, we were just like, you know, we'll try our luck. That's what I think. What actually gave birth to Nama? It was basically us trying our luck with all these artists. I think we have approached more artists. Like some of them, we couldn't get on board just because of the budget restriction that we were going through at that time. We were basically this is a completely independent album that we made out of our own pockets. There is no sponsorship. There is no one helping us with money except for a couple of videos. That's it. Otherwise, all the other artists that we played with, most of them were happy to play for us for peanuts, actually. We told them our story. We told them, just listen to the music. And if you like it, it would be a really big honor for not only us, actually, for the whole of Indian music. If you guys play for us. Guthrie was on board. Marco was on board. Jordan came up on board. And most of the people, I think at least 90% of the people that we approached were on board without any kind of fuss or anything. They were happy to play the music that we you know, asked them to play for us. And it was actually basically an example to show that all you have to do is ask and things get done for you. Wow. And as Mitchell said, it was like, even while this was happening, we were like, is Guthrie really going to play for us? Is Jordan really going to play for us? Are we going to, you know, are we going to, you know, type their name in our album? Is this really happening? Even after it was released, we were like, kind of, you know, are we going to wake up from a dream and think that, you know, all of this didn't happen? So it was, yeah, it was something like that. It was the basic example from this is, you need to put that step forward. All you need to do is you put that step forward and things can happen.
It's intense how humble you guys are, because you guys are like stars yourself, and you're, you know, it's like, I mean, I think it's a little bit more complicated than those guys just being like, oh yeah, we'll just play on your album, because you guys have done so much already. You know, like, I don't think, like, if I called these guys up and said, hey, you want to jam? I don't think they would be like, yeah, sure. You know, like, I think, you know, I think there's a lot of credit and a lot of things that you built to begin with before, you know. But I mean, again, I mean, it is another example of, I guess, the human spirit is very contagious with you guys. You know, I think it's, you're embodying something and that's translating to the rest of the world. So it's very unique. I mean, it's very, like I said, again, it's very special. And, you know, I do want to talk about Inside of India as well, because I don't think, like, I don't know how to say this properly, but it seems like my experience with being inside of India is that people that live inside of India are very humble people. Like, I mean, that they're not like, oh yeah, we're the best and we have, you know, like, because you guys do have a gigantic movie and gigantic music industry alone by yourself. And I was so overwhelmed by how big it actually is. My thinking was really like, and again, like, I've been to India now numerous times, but my thinking was like, India doesn't need the world. Like, the world needs India. Like, that's the way I am interpreting it, being a foreigner, you know. Because I see how big it is. And I'm just like, maybe these guys don't see it. Like, they don't see how big their whole life is here, you know, but I think you do. I think you're aware. I just think it's culture. Like, the culture is so like friendly and it's so humble. I think that's really made the impression on me, because it is massive there, you know? And I think it's really interesting. I just think it's so interesting how humble it is, the way how you speak about it. Cause I know you're talking very sincerely, but it's like, these guys are kind of privileged to work with you too, you know, you know, just so we're clear.
It's pretty kind of you to say that, but these are all our heroes. Like, these are all our heroes. These are all the guys that we grew up listening to. So
yeah.
Maybe, well, yes. As you said, as you pointed out, if we if we would have asked them to play in Navarasam, maybe the story would have been different. Maybe, yeah, as you said, because they heard Navarasam or they did a kind of background check and they heard all the face melting solos that Mithun has played and all the kind of and all the melodies that go with Krishna Matha, Vian's eccentricities. Maybe they saw all these kind of things. And but then again, it's I think it's about what you said about India needing other countries. It's basically a synergy kind of a thing. We all need each other. That's the truth about it. Because the world needs India because India is a very big market. And India needs the world because there's a lot of good things out there, which actually, it's something that I think that helped colonize India is that India was very welcome to people from other countries because it loved the ideas of sharing what they had to offer. At the same time, we were not very much adamant about giving away what we had here. I mean, it's politics for another day, but basically that's the gist of it. It's like if we all shared everything that we had, the world would be a better place, right? Mm.
Yeah, no, I think obviously it's, I actually did have to have, like one night, actually I was in Kochi, I had got to have a really long conversation with a National Geographic photographer. It's another story, but we talked into the morning about like all of the, you know, the political base and stuff. But I think it's profound for people to look into the culture and to look into the country and into the history. It's absolutely profound because I have found that the way that I understand India when I go into it, I understand it as a world to itself. You know, like I come in from out of the world and I go into the world of India. And that's the way I can't interpret it any other way. It is so massive and so much to experience and to understand. So I do feel it's a privilege to know you guys and to be able to work with your company and to, you know, like try to make things happen because I'm really pushing on a force of having more international people going into India to kind of experience the richness of the music industry. And hopefully that's going to open more and more doors for Indian artists to, you know, see the rest of the world as well. I do want to talk about A.R. Rahman. And the reason why I want to talk about him is because, number one, he's from the South. And I've had friends that are closely associated with him. So his name has popped up a lot. You know, they've had pictures with him. And I know you guys have done tribute stuff with him. I've Googled him. He's like one of the most awarded like people on the earth. Like, I think he's sitting well over 200 awards, and that's like, that's from every major award system you could imagine, from like the Oscars to the Academy Awards to Grammy, everything. What's the connection there? Is it because A.R. Rahman is from the South? Is it because you really love A.R. Rahman's music? Is it because of who he is as a figure and what he represents? What's the connection? Because I've seen that you guys have done collaborations with him more than once. So, or at least tribute and, you know, paying homage to him. So please tell me about that.
So
go ahead.
Yeah, basically it's like every musician, I think almost he's like India's Beatles. You know, it's, if you're not influenced by him, you are influenced by someone who was influenced by him.
Oh, okay. It's like that. So that's, I just want to touch on that. That's, like, you're really saying something there. And I really want that, like, that's a really powerful statement. So he is like the man of, that's what, like, no doubt about it. He's like the man of the Indian music industry. Is that correct? Can, yeah, I?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't, like, there have been others too, like him. But it's like, I'm not sure if theoretically right what I'm about to say, but like time, like the opportunity time brings to each person is different. For example, if Ilaiyaraja was, say, coming on to the stage 20 years later than he did, he would have gotten more recognition than he did. But I'm not saying that he didn't get any recognition. He's still one of the greatest music directors to come in India, compose out of India.
Of the world.
About R.D. Burman. Yeah. Lakshmikant Pyarelal. These are all immensely talented musicians. Same goes to, like, say, what if Elvis was born 20, 30 years later from what he when he was born? He would have got the attention that he would have gotten would have been completely different. So
the world would have been completely different.
Exactly. So that's what maybe that's one of the reasons. But Rahman is who he is. Like he was at the right. He was there at the right time. He basically what he did was just like his predecessors. He changed the sounding of the whole South industry, like music that was coming out. He changed the way it sounded. I don't know if it's a rumor that I heard that he used to manufacture his own cassettes, like so that the quality of the music doesn't, you know, go down. So all these kind of things used to and he was one of the music directors who I think gave more importance to the audio engineering, the mixing, the mastering, the whole post-production of music. He was, I think, one of those guys who really gave importance to those kind of things. And it kind of showed because the music that A.R. Rahman made just stood different. It was out there. It was different. It just sounded different. It was not just about the music. It was also about the soundscaping of the music.
And was this affecting, I just want to stop you there. Like, was this affecting all the different, like, regions of India and all the different people, like, cultures of India at the same time?
Of course. It was a musical revolution that took on the whole of India.
Okay.
Because of that.
It was big. Okay.
Exactly. When Roja came out, Roja was the first major hit. It was his second movie, actually. The first movie that he did was a Malayalam movie. The first release was at least a Malayalam movie. And the second movie was Roja. And when Roja was released, the sound, if you listen to the music, it's phenomenal for that time. And it has inspiration from a lot of places. Like, if you, there is a love song called Puduvelli Mare. If you hear the rhythm, it's got inspiration from Chariots of Fire. The rhythm. The snare delay, all those kind of things. It was taken from a lot of places, but it was the way he blended it with, you know, the Indian music. It's about bringing reggae rhythm guitar to a folk song in Tamil. So all those kind of things.
Yeah. Does this make him then, does this make him a person who took inspiration from the world and brought it to India? Like, was he really kind of creating a new international culture in the music? Is that fair to say that?
Yeah, it's very fair to say that. And he's a very good blend of a music director with the producer. He had really good ears. He has a really good set of ears because he can grab certain things, just as I told earlier, and blend it with something that he has created out of his own experience. And yeah, I think that would be one of the reasons why he is who he is.
Does anyone want to touch on that a bit? Mithun, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think also something has to do with the changing of technology as well at that time. So before A.R. Rahman, it used to be like the sound is basically mainly it's all live instruments, and what they use for rhythm is like traditional instruments. So A.R. Rahman used to be a keyboard programmer. So he was very skilled, and he had the ability to do all these instruments on the keyboard itself. So it kind of brought a different sound. So from the crowd, all the audience being used to this traditional rhythms and traditional instruments, all of a sudden they are hearing completely something new. So that has really contributed to the reason why he became so big in the early days, I guess. So
he turned the dial on how music was done, right? I guess you could say.
Yeah, how music was recorded. So he's one of those guys who could do everything by himself. Like, so I think that has to do that has played an important role in the sounding being so different, actually.
Okay, well, I mean, that is interesting, and I mean, and the fact that you guys have worked with him so closely, like, it was kind of reminiscent to me, like when Heart or these bands did this big tribute to Led Zeppelin. I don't know if you saw that, but like, I watched your special on AR-ROM, and that's the way it felt to me. Like, it felt like this guy is so iconic and at such a level, but I don't really understand it. But you guys are paying this really, you know, big homage and tribute to him. And I can feel the importance. So I just kind of wanted to touch on, you know, your experience with that. Do you guys get to meet him and talk to him? Like, have you spent time with him?
Nope.
that was easy. Okay. So
I've done before the band had come, but it was just a car ride. He was in Trivandrum for an award ceremony. I think it was Swirly I was. And I was in the car. And I was studying in college at that time. So, but it was like, I mean, everybody knew that I am a big fan of Perman, and people who were organizing it gave me the chance to, you know,
okay, have a ride.
One thing I just want to touch on is not just about his sounding, but his ability to make melodies hit after hit after hit after hit is something that is what Rahman is all about, actually.
It's like,
more than the sound at the
very top. It's like Michael Jordan, yeah, like being the best, yeah, or it's like Michael Jackson, like just hit after, yeah, hit after hit after, yeah, okay.
Hit, yeah, every movie that comes will have a major hit. So that is what...
He's like, have a major unstoppable.
It's not like kind of a hit. It's a major hit. It will be like, in the number.
Boom!
Be, yeah.
I got you.
On Hemant, who used to work with Air Rahman in his studio for the technical stuff and all, his computer setting up software and all. So he has a good relationship with Air Rahman.
Who is that? Sorry?
Our sound engineer.
Oh, your sound engineer. Okay, we're Hemant. On. I do want to touch on the fact that you guys are multiple bands, you know, in one band. Can we start with Vian? Vian, you have a solo career. I know you just released an album a little while ago. Do you want to tell me, like, I only have you three guys. I know, like, there's a lot of music going on, but because I have you three guys, do you want to touch on that, Vian? Like, what are you doing with your own project?
Tycoon Bridge was a completely new opening to music. So all this while, my music, whatever I was creating, or the way I was thinking was very limited. But since Tycoon Bridge, learning from everyone in the band, the entire process of how to create an album, how to work on the sounding, how to produce the tracks and all. So I think I learned a lot, and I put all of that together into my own creation. So this is my third album that I worked on, and it's called Half-Life. And I always wanted to work on a concept album, and finally it happened, and I really loved the way it has come out. And also, like, the songs that are mixed are by the Tycoon Bridge engineers itself, Amit and Rajan. So it's a very nice experience to know what, you know, the entire process of mix and master and all of it is. So it was a very different experience altogether for me.
Well, what a huge bonus. I mean, that's so cool that, you know, you can have a solo career. Your band members are cool with it because they're having solo careers, and then you're all supporting each other. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, man. Like, it might be normal there. That's not really normal in other places. You know, usually when people start doing stuff like that, people get like, oh yeah, you think you're so great, you know, and then they try to sabotage you, you know. Like, the fact that, you know, like, I mean, the way you guys operate is, I mean, it's kind of mind blowing. Like, I'm just going to be honest about it. I mean, people might want to hide the truth about how people really act, but like, that's how they act. They'll try to sabotage you and make you look bad. But you guys are in a team, and that's crazy. So congratulations. And
yeah, in Tycoon Bridge, I think everyone is very supportive about what, if anyone is doing anything solo, like apart from Tycoon Bridge is working, like most of the musicians, I think, are doing their independent stuff, right? From Govind is working on movies. Even Ashok is doing his solo stuff. Mithun plays his solo stuff for movies. And also everyone is complimenting and respecting each other for the music, keeping music as the priority and not letting other things come into place. So I think that is what is keeping the beautiful vibe within the band members really good. And there is peace among everyone, even though the solo project and the band is there.
Okay, so I thank you. And Ashok, I want to ask you about your solo. What's going on with your musical stuff?
Stuff I do is not independent per se. I do mostly jingles. That's what I used to do before I was part of Tycoon Bridge. Basically, it was something that grew on me. And I love doing jingles.
It's so for like commercials or radio
commercials.
Ads, okay.
Exactly. But at present time, I am doing a movie, but it's way down in my list. Okay. I just do it if everything, comes together. The good thing about doing jingles is you just have to work on them maximum like a week or so. But when it comes to movies, the pre-production, the post-production, everything comes out to at least a couple of months. I'm not that patient with music.
So yeah, it sounds like, it sounds like Tycoon Bridge is like has been a vehicle for a lot of you guys, right? Like it's been this vehicle of being able to collaborate with lots of people, being able to meet lots of people, being able to, collectively gain these different, gain respect where you can collaborate with other professionals as well. It sounds pretty interesting. I know, and this is, I'm kind of leading to you, Mithun, is like, I know that you had one of my favorite drummers in the whole world played on your songs. And that was, David Ambrosia, the drummer who played on 10 or, Versus. Like, I mean, my first instrument was drums when I was a kid and playing and stuff like that. And of course, Dave Grohl or whatever, but Dave Ambrosia was like one of my top influences. Like he was just, his style and his aggression and all that stuff was just like, so talk to me about that. So you got a solo project too, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a solo project. It's a band that I had even before Tycoon. So.
Let me just stop you there. So, you had a band before Tycoon. You met these guys. You have a band. Now the band that you're in with like all these dudes gets big and it blows up. And then you revisit this band that you had meantime. Is that kind of?
Yeah. I mean, that is like, to be honest, those guys are not full-time musicians actually. So they have different careers as well as the guys in Tycoon are full-time musicians. So it is kind of different actually. How very different both the bands operates actually. So the other band, it's called Zootopia. It's it's very influenced by the 90s alternative music movements, like the early grunge and like Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, those kind of bands, even Radiohead from UK. So we had an idea of doing a tribute for Chris Cornell, and we made a cover kind of thing, a cover of Seasons actually, and then
Seasons by Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell, yeah.
Chris
Cornell, so, and somehow we managed to get in touch with Dave Abruzzi's, and it's like he's now a member of the band. He's almost like a member of the band. So we do exchange text almost regularly, almost every day.
Wow.
So it's like, yeah. And,
say hi for me.
And yeah, and it was like an unbelievable experience for me. First, first time he calls me on Facebook Messenger, and I almost froze, actually. I don't know whether I should prick the collar. It was like, I mean, is this real? Is this for real? And I took the call and we spoke for 40 minutes and I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe how humble he was. And I remember young days watching this guy on TV. And in that age, you're so influenced by these guys. And you don't see, it's like these guys are from another planet. That's kind of a feeling I had.
That's a universal feeling because, working in the music industry, when I've had the ability now to talk to like Grammy winning producers and these kind of things. And I'll tell you, it's the same with me. Like I still get a little bit floored when I talk to someone, I mean, same with you guys, like to be in touch with you guys is a little bit like that too, because I know how you're huge, right? Like this is that kind of bridge isn't a small band. Like, let me just remind you that again. Like you're not in a small band, you know, like you're in a big, I'm trying so hard not to swear. You're in a big band. So I mean, so let's not like, let me remind you of that. Yeah. But yeah, please go on.
Yeah, so it's been awesome working with him. So now we are going to put out another track. So and now we are working with the an engineer and producer called Tim Palmer, who actually mixed Pearl Jam's 10. So we have started working with him. So
that's one of the best produced albums. That is one of the best produced albums. 10, of all. Yeah,
10 is one of my favorite albums of all time. So he, so, I think he, yeah.
I'm like totally fanboying right here. I'm sorry. It's just, it's really interesting.
Yeah. So we are currently working with him. So we have sent already some 2 or 3 tracks. So we expect to put that in this year.
Well, congratulations. So, and congratulations to you, Bian. Also, you, Ashok. Like, I mean, making a movie is no small feat. That's for sure. And I mean, Bian, you're continuing on. I mean, I see you on stage being like, you're kind of the mastermind. Like you're kind of this, like, I don't want to say religiously, I don't want to use context, but you're like this, like you've got everyone by the palm of your hand and you're like, do this. And everyone's like, ah, you know, I mean, it's a little bit, but so everyone's kind of got their own thing going on. And just to bring, you know, I mean, we've been talking for a while, so I just want to say thanks for your time. I did want to just touch on one more thing. Obviously the pandemic is here and, you know, everyone's shut down and it sounds like you guys are really involved in your own things right now because maybe even the pandemic influenced you to, you know, to kind of steer that way. What are we looking at in the future for, you know, Taikarom Bridge? Like what's happening with that? And is there any plans that you know of?
So before we touch on a serious subject, to answer this, I will tell you a funny side of it. So
please.
All these years when we used to travel and we had back-to-back shows, okay? Like there have been times when we did, I think, 3 different shows in 3 different countries also, right? Like back-to-back.
Yeah.
Or was it like 1 day, 2 different countries?
Kuwait, Bahrain, and I think Moscow.
Yeah, something like that. So,
and once we did 3 gigs in 24 hours, something like that.
Okay, so during that entire phase, so it was like almost like 18 shows in a month, 19 shows in a month. Like there is like back-to-back travel. There's one show in the morning, there's one show in the evening. And it was like completely packed. And that happened for many years. Ashok, your phone is in.
Yeah, I think his phone either went dead or something. Please go on. Sorry about that.
So then for many years, we were doing this same schedule of back-to-back shows and everybody was tired to the core. Okay. And we were like, okay, we need to take a break. We are exhausted. We are done with this. We need to take a break. And we actually did. okay, we took a break of, I think, 1 month, and we, I think, decided to do production work. Everyone will work on the albums and all, that was it. But I think after things get back to normal, and if I personally hear any member saying that I need a break, I'd be like, God gave you a break of like 2 years. Talk about break anymore. You're going to play it back to back for 5 years without stopping.
If anyone wants a break, you're going to break them, right?
Seriously.
So is there any immediate plans, Vian? Can you take that on, Vian? Like, is there anything that you guys are... that you know of that, say, in the future, let's say? I'm not talking about touring. Is there any, like, are you guys sending tracks to each other about writing? Are you talking or communicating on a, you know, about anything possibly? Like, when is possibly? That's another question. Like, when is the possible future of Thakurum Bridge? Thakurum Bridge.
So we definitely have things that we are working on, and we are trying to put it together, because during this entire pandemic scenario, we let everyone live their lives and gave them their space also to work on their stuff and all. And now I think when we have to bounce back, we have to start things little by little. It's not going to be like a bang all over like before. So let's step by step, we need to grow everything that would also require new material. And I think we also have to continue what we left behind, and it was not completely like given full power justice. That was Nama. So we worked on Nama, and we were working on having a nice tour with Nama and promoting the album, but that did not happen due to the pandemic. So once things are back to normal, we need to go back on stage and play those songs live and push those songs, because I believe the entire band believes that the entire album has not reached out to full potential to the entire family of Thakurum Bridge and also to new listeners. So we need to promote that and simultaneously also put out the new content that we are working on. So we definitely have things lined up for the future, and we are planning shoots, we are planning songs, and we are trying to keep the balance of the originals at the same time the covers that people... So we, Thakurum Bridge is not just a band that people love us for our originals. It's like a balance for the covers and also the originals. So we want to keep that and maintain that vibe all along the way with the fans and the relationship that we share. So that's how we are planning for the future.
Okay. And I mean,
we are planning to put out a track every month. We are trying to put out a single or a new video every month. So okay, that is our current goal. So that's hopefully our listeners will keep our fans engaged. So that's the idea we have for the next 6 months at least.
Okay. And I mean, I just, you know, to put things in perspective too, and I think this is kind of important, you know, I mean, when you look at YouTube and you look at like, okay, so there's, I'll just talk about Canada briefly because I'm from Canada, is that, you know, we have some Canadian artists like, you know, Bryan Adams or Bare Naked Ladies or Celine Dion, who aren't really Canadian because they're, you know, they had global hits, right? So, I mean, yes, they're Canadian, but their hit song, I mean, was just so much bigger than the United States or in Europe or somewhere in Asia kind of thing. Like Justin Bieber, let's say, or Drake, you know, like it's weird because Canada has the two highest selling artists in the world, even though Canada's a small country. But to put these things in perspective, you're never going to see a popular Canadian band with the kind of numbers that you guys have either. Like Canadians just, I mean, it's just, I mean, you won't even see a popular American band with the kind of numbers you guys have. You know, like I've seen some of your guys' videos that have like 22 million hits, you know, like 40 million hits. Like it's crazy, like the numbers, you know. So I like, the thing is, like when we talk about fame these days, fame isn't like it was in the 1990s. It's not. Like fame is now individual bubbles, you know, like there's no such thing as mainstream fame as much as there was, or how the industry was created in the, you know, 80s and 90s and such. Like that's gone. So, you know, like you guys have songs that have more hits than bands like Pearl Jam. Like you do, like you have more hits than, you have songs that have more hits than like famous American bands. So, I mean, when we talk about relativity, like real life, you know, and yes, this band, like because this band was in America or because this band's in India, like it's almost like our perception is skewed. But because like you, I think more people will actually like the music you're doing than say, like, let's just be honest, bands from the 90s are getting forgotten now. Like there's so many bands that were there that people just don't remember, you know? Like, so if you went through your catalog of all the bands you used to listen to in the 90s and 2000s, you probably forgot 80% of it, you know, like honestly, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I think it's important that it's also really important that we really talk about that, because what you guys are doing is so much more impactful that I think people can really understand or appreciate. Like there's something serious going on in the world, and it's not about Hollywood commercialization anymore. It's not about Bollywood commercialization anymore. There's bands out there like yourself that are really building something independent of these mega structures, you know? And I think that really needs to be talked about. I think it needs to be recognized. And I just want to congratulate you on that. Like you are just as famous as David Ambrosia, just in your own circles, you know, Mithun, like you are. Like that's just real, you know? So, I mean, and Thakkanam Bridge is just as famous as any other big band in the way that this is known now, you know, the way the world works from now on. So I just wanted to say thank you for your time. Like, I really appreciate it. And I mean, it's important that I hope some people listen to this interview and really kind of digest what we're getting at here about, you know, community spirit, working together, international, you know, collaborations, how, you know, the kind of fame and notoriety. And if anyone would like to kind of give any final thoughts, I mean, please do. Let me know what you think, and we'll say goodbye from there.
Actually, the feeling's mutual. It's a great honor to be a part of your show, and really great that you enjoyed visiting India and touring all the music here. These kind like art forms are just like people. It's like they have their own span of life, and some live on, and some are forced to shut down. But these are things that require movements to, for example, I think it was Killing in the Name Of, which was resurrected by an English couple, and it was brought back to number one. So things like that happen. It's never too late for, as long as it's published music, it can resurface anytime. So let's keep our fingers crossed and, you know, hope that all this kind of good music comes back. And it was really great talking to you. It was like in this time of pandemic, it's not very useful to get such companies and, you know, talk for this long. So thanks for calling us and taking us on board. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, very nice to talk to you guys as well. Keep rocking, keep rolling. And we'll be in touch, and I'll see you in the future.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Cheers, guys.